Welcome to Autism Knows No Borders, a podcast where people connected to autism inspire change and build community. Together with the Global Autism Project, I'm your host, Rachel Harmon, a professional with over a decade of experience in the field of autism services, outreach, and advocacy. Have you ever had to pull through something you thought would be impossible to overcome? Or let go of control in an overwhelming situation? If you can relate, you'll want to listen to this episode with Jonathan Gardner, where he shares the lessons that helped him through his cancer journey. Jonathan Gardner is an autistic self-advocate, cancer survivor, supported decision maker, and motivational speaker. In this conversation, we discuss Jonathan's strengths and special interests, how bullying pushed him to homeschooling, what it was like to be diagnosed with a rare cancer at only 18 years old, Jonathan's emotional journey of receiving treatment, and his road to recovery. In this episode, discover what's possible when you find joy in every day. And now I present you, Jonathan Gardner.
Hello, my name is Jonathan Gardner. I'm a 20-year-old self-advocate, cancer survivor who happens to have autism. I have many hats of a figure of speech, such as I'm a member of Mass Advocates for Children. I am the official ambassador for Operation House Call for the ARC of Massachusetts. I am a Flutie Fellow for the Doug Flutie Jr. Foundation for Autism. I am also one of the co-chairs of the SDM Coalition. And my vision has always been since 13 to help as many people as I can.
You do wear a lot of hats, as you were saying. So tell us about your autism. What are your strengths and special interests?
For my strengths, I'll start off that before I go down the deep rabbit hole as well off all the phones there. But I would say, honestly, one of my strengths is my empathy. My doctor's actually diagnosed me with too much empathy, so that was great to hear eventually. I know this is going to sound weird, but sometimes my sensitivity can be also a strength to an extent, such as basically kind of think of my body like a radar. Like when I was going through my cancer journey and everything like that before I got all that stuff, there was a lot of, let's just call them, frustrating challenges for 5 months before I get into that whole can of worms. Mm-hmm. But yeah, though my leg was in so much pain that I couldn't sleep and all that stuff. So it was basically my sensory basically saying, hey, there might be a problem with that or a problem with my body. Besides that, I have pretty good hearing, like surprisingly enough, like I can hear through my walls like no tomorrow.
Hmm.
Besides that, I guess we'll get into my special interests. Well, since I have the shirt for it, I guess I'll start off with anime. Yeah, I got a Dragon Ball shirt on for the viewers wondering, like this is around when late Akira Toriyama just announced to pass away. Rest in peace. Mm. Great guy. Well, great creative, great mind, and I truly cannot thank him for bringing the world of Dragon Ball to the world.
Mm.
But besides that, I like Hunter x Hunter, One Punch Man, and One Piece. And besides that, I like video games. I like Nintendo. I like Shin Megami Tensei. And Dragon Quest, funny enough as well. And if I have to name one IP from Nintendo, Kirby. But besides that, I like wrestling. I mostly watch WWE. I sometimes dip my toes in AEW. But let's just say AEW's not where my fancies at without MJF there. Because honestly, I don't want to say anything because these people put their bodies on the line for so much for our entertainment. But yeah, my opinion of AEW when it comes to that is kind of just like, put body over line over story. Not my taste, but I respect it.
Hmm.
Besides that, I just like helping people. I just love my job. I love what I do. I'm just happy to have everyone that I know on my side.
All right. Thanks, Jonathan.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, let's talk about how does autism affect your everyday life?
That's a good question, because honestly, sometimes you don't think about this stuff. Autism is just a part of you. It doesn't really affect me personally, because I've gotten so used to it at this point that it's just second nature. But sometimes, I guess, if you wanted me to throw out some complaints about myself, I have a short tolerance sometimes for loud noises, certain lights. Like, for example, for the lights, whenever I enter Kohl's, I get a mad, like a huge headache. Geez, those lights. Jeez.
Yeah.
And that's just me. Like, everyone's autism is different. Like, we have a saying in my family, if you met one person with autism, you've met one person with autism.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, though, for loud noises, like, now I can tolerate them much better. Like, I've gone with strategies and everything. But as a kid, oh boy, he just put me in, like, a crowded area. And oh boy, that would not be the funnest day for me.
Mm-hmm. How do you manage it now?
I manage it now by just relying on my support people and my support network. Or I just basically just tune out to some great music, honestly. Like, I could go in and in about that stuff, but I'd be here all day.
Mm. So do you always have some earphones handy for those moments where you can just kind of escape?
Absolutely. I honestly do. Just go into my little own world and just think about all of my creative opportunities that I might have in my future. Mm-hmm. Wink, wink, nudge, nudge.
All right. Well, I'm glad that you've been able to find some strategies to help you.
Mm-hmm.
So let's go back to talking about your childhood. You were homeschooled from age 8 to 18.
Yes.
What prompted that switch out of public school?
So when I was in second grade, there was a lot of like people that I will word them quote by quote, saying that I didn't look autistic. So I had this one-to-one aid that brought to me through kindergarten, through first grade, because I didn't look autistic. Bye-bye aid by the teacher. That was already a problem. And sometimes I had this hat that was in my IEP that allowed me to wear, because in my words at the time, it made my brain feel in place and all my thoughts in order, if that made sense. The teacher found it funny to flick that off. Mm. Flick it off completely. And based on all that stuff, I was bullied for wearing Ernie and, I guess, babyish clothes, which honestly, if you look at a bunch of people now, like you see them wearing Cookie Monster shirts and all that stuff. Like I can probably point out to some people in WWE. So technically, I was ahead of my time. But, though, eventually, let's just say I became more self-injurious over time because no one was supporting me besides, well, my family that was trying their best. But like the schools weren't like giving me any supports. They were mostly basically bullying me, basically. And just, I got to the point where I almost jumped out a window at my first school.
Wow.
And then I was brought to the hospital, and then I got to go to home. And now this is the part where you're expecting me to say, then I became a homeschooler and everything was peachy. Nope. We got one more place to go to. Another school, where I was about there for about 9-12 days, like basically around like 2 weeks around that time, because not only was I emotionally abused, I was physically abused by the teacher. My mom actually walked in on me getting hit by the teacher.
Oh my gosh.
And that was my last day ever in public school. My mom rushed me to the hospital, and my doctor, Dr. Bolton, saw and basically told my mom and my dad to basically pull me out of school, or I might be successful with my self-interest behaviors, which I was still being self-interest, and I might be successful at age 13. And that is when we started the wonderful life of homeschooling.
Hmm. Okay.
Yeah, that's how we got to the point.
Actually, we have a question from one of our community members.
Oh, perfect.
Amy Smith. And she's also autistic, and she too was homeschooled from kindergarten to second grade. And she says she didn't realize she was different from other kids until she was placed in regular school in third grade. So Amy thinks it delayed her learning how to socialize well with peers. And she wants to know about your experience with homeschooling and if it helped or hindered you as an autistic child.
Well, honestly, believe it or not, because I just have a great family and everything like that, I really did need the homeschooling, honestly. Like, it wasn't a matter of, can I or will I? It was more of a, I need it. Not want, need. When it comes to the socializing and everything like that, I had other programs, such as I went to a program called CBDC. I cannot remember the full name for the life of me, so my apologies. I respect the program for my life, but I can't remember it. Mm-hmm. I'm so sorry, Miss Sheila. And I also had a speech and language program that I went to help with my speech and everything like that. But with the homeschool and everything like that, did I feel lonely and isolated from an extent? Honestly, I never thought of that because I was more, I don't mean to be insensitive to anyone and all that stuff. Everyone's life is challenging and differently, but since this is me, I'm just going to speak from what I've experienced. I never really thought of it as being socially lonely and all that stuff. Like, here's the thing, I'm a shy person, believe it or not. So when you tell me, hey, you don't have to go to school and socialize with people you don't know, I'm going to be like, great. But I'm great with it now, even though I'm still shy.
Yeah, yeah.
Me and my mom joke about me basically being kind of a shy guy, but mm-hmm. It's one of those things.
So overall, it was a great experience for you.
Great, but it was a tough transition.
Okay.
When me and my mom started homeschooling, it wasn't like, boom, we're going to start with the books. We're going to start with this. We're going to do this, 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 this. No, 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 no. I was dealing with PTSD at the time and still am dealing with PTSD. I was just coming out of school. For our first 2 years, I want to say, we focused on a lot of mental health stuff to help me cope through what happened to me. Sure, we did the work. Like, we did all that stuff. But the main focus was mental health and all that stuff. My mother, I wouldn't call my schooling traditional. I'm doing quotations, people, for people that can't see. But I basically started off with my mental health because that was what needed to be tackled at the point. And then my mom prepared me for real life with jobs, taxes, math, and all of the important skills. Heck, even writing to an extent. And eventually we grew and grew and grew. It became more than we could do one thing. Now we could do two. Now we could do three. It was like a snowball effect, if that makes sense, until the point where I was basically doing everything. And I'm also about to get a job. Like, it's just one of those great things that I truly don't believe that if I was in public school, I wouldn't be the person I am today.
Mm. Well, that's amazing that you had that and still have that support.
Yeah.
So let's talk about your cancer. You were diagnosed at 18, is that right?
Yes, I was. So this is how it all started. It's like a journey to get to this point.
Okay,
so.
Yeah. Take us on that journey.
Yeah, so it was in around August, if I'm correct. Me and my mom were just going for like a walk like we normally do. And then one moment changed everything. I felt like I had a Charlie horse or something in my leg. And we were like, that's weird. Maybe just walk it off and all that stuff. That one moment changed my life, honestly. It might not seem it now, but let me take you on this journey first. The Charlie horse, with quotation marks, wouldn't go away for the longest time. We tried new shoes. We tried stretches. We tried Icy Hot. We tried all the things you would expect. Wouldn't go away. Eventually, we're like, okay, we have to go to a doctor for this. We go to a doctor, and they just dismissed because they saw the word autism in my thing, saying like, oh, he's lying, or oh, he's just making it up, or something like that, when I, the patient, I'm telling them that I'm the one that's in the pain. I'm telling them where it hurts. I'm showing them. Heck, my leg was basically puffed up like a balloon. Mm. One of my legs. So clearly there was something completely wrong with me. So eventually after, I don't want to reveal the time frame just yet because I want to save it. So after a little bit, I finally found this doctor by the grace of God. That looked me straight in the eyes and said, Jonathan, I do not know what's wrong with you, but I'm going to try my hardest to find out. Also, that doctor's name is Dr. McGinnis. She also works for the Red Sox. So after that, I get set up for an MRI. It took a total of not one, not two, but three MRIs. Because in an MRI, there's this flat surface you have to sit on. And it's a hard surface. And it was hurting my back. Basically, like, it felt like a stabbing, like my back was being stabbed, like, no tomorrow. The reason why I took more than one time was because I couldn't sit still for the full hour of this MRI. And they were like, take an energized thing. It must be because it's loud noises and all that stuff. When I'm telling them, no, it's not any of these things. It's not because of the lights. It's not because I need to take medication because we already tried that. No, it's because I'm in so much pain. But finally, for the third one, I was like, just knock me out for the dang test. And that is how I found out that I had Ewing sarcoma. Now then, you're probably wondering, how long did this take? 5 months. 5 months.
Wow.
Of me advocating and everything, trying to get my voice across. And as that's growing, I have a very rare cancer forming in the height of COVID. And it was just, yeah.
Hmm.
Yeah, this is doing 2021, people.
Hey, Rachel here. I'd like to give a shout out to one of our listeners, Amy Smith, for contributing to today's interview with that last question regarding homeschooling. Would you like to submit your own questions for upcoming guests? Follow us on Instagram at Autism Podcast and watch out for posts asking for contributions. We want you to get the most out of Autism Knows No Borders, so your input is always appreciated. And now, back to the conversation. So, Jonathan, what was it like for you emotionally on that journey from, you know, the moment of hearing the word cancer to receiving treatment and then at the end, beating it?
So, when I first heard the words cancer, I was trying to play a game called Valkyria Chronicles. Great game. But for some reason, something was telling me, don't play this game today. So I decided to stop and go talk to my support person to talk it out and maybe get myself back to playing it. Namely, my mom. She's also my healthcare proxy as well. So I'm going up the stairs and I'm going towards my dad's office because that's where she is. And I hear her crying and talking to someone. So I decide to go in and ask what's going on. After a small amount of prodding, my mother told me I had cancer. To be honest, I thought it was some sick joke. I thought it was some joke that didn't make sense. But after a couple of minutes of processing, I realized I had cancer. And then the first thought I had was, honestly, how are we going to tell everyone I know about this? So I gathered my mom, my dad, and brother, and I told them I have cancer. And honestly, we've all never cried so much that day. Like, I was so, so sad for them, honestly. I was not even thinking about myself at the time. Here's the thing, empathy kicking in. Too much of it. Don't think about yourself at the moment. I'm just thinking, God, how am I going to help everyone at this moment? Like, I know that sounds like, oh, this is such an egotistical thing. What is such a great person? No, this is literally what I thought of at the time. And I am not even joking. I'm like trying to console my brother and everything like that. Well, trying to console myself to an extent. I'm trying to console my father as I'm just saying, like, I'm going to be all right and all that stuff. I'm going to be fine. Like, even though I was making plans just in case something was to happen with my brother. Basically, I won't reveal what I said or anything like that because one, doesn't really matter anymore. And two, I believe that should stay between me and him for right now.
Okay, of course.
But honestly, I was just preparing everyone for the worst case scenario and the best case scenario at the same time, which thankfully the best case scenario happened.
Mm-hmm. And so how was it for you when you were receiving treatment? Were you always hopeful that you would be okay or did something happen to kind of switch the trajectory? What was that like for you?
I would say, honestly, when it really started to kick in, which I think is the root of the question, for me at least, was in that doctor's office. When I was first got in there and first met Dr. Cody and finally got rolled out, that's when it really hit me that this is real. This isn't some sick joke. This is reality. So, yeah, when I got into that treatment, it was surreal. Met a great nurse, though. For me, I always had like a gung-ho attitude about it. I always like try to make jokes with the nurses, and I just always tried to help out as much as I could. Like, for example, for like the needle stuff, like I would always move my shirt a little bit, like as I do, what did as an example, because my brain moves more than me. But I would always try to help. I would always try to do everything. But I'll be honest, there were hard times. There were extremely hard times. There were times that I really wanted to give up. I won't lie. Those times that I thought, man, I wish I didn't have to do this, but I have to. But there was only really one time that I really wanted to quit. Mm. And that was after getting 6 months of chemotherapy and 2 weeks of radiation. I came home one day and my body, mind were feeling horrible and hopeless. I just came up to the room I'm very much recording this in, just cried my eyes out, just crying repeatedly. My mom eventually came in and asked what was going on. After a long rant about how my life is right at that moment, I told her, I don't care what happens to me. I just wanted to stop, even if it caused the tumor to kill me. My mom had to take time to process this all herself. But when she came back not as my mom, not as Nancy Gardner, but as my support person. And she said to me, Jonathan, I do not know what the answer to this all is, but if you could put your faith in me, I'm going to try my hardest to help you figure this out. From there, my mom and I, well, there was an emergency Zoom call, which I basically told them, I give my full consent to my mom, just come up with a plan, I'll think about it. So after they came up with a little bit of a plan, they brought it back to me and I brought it and I talked with my supporters about it. And after a lot of thinking, I decided to move forward with it. My doctors not only saved my mental health, but also my physical health by listening to me, the human being. And again, that's one of the many reasons I love my doctors. I can go on and on about that. But that was the first time I really wanted to quit. And honestly, the first time I really, really broke. Like, there were other times that I broke. I won't lie. This is just one of many, but that was the worst. The one that almost got me to quit cancer treatments. Because honestly, and this is my doctor's words, not mine. So technically, this is factual. I had one of the hardest regimens in the entire world. And I'm not saying that due to egos or anything like that, or like, pump up the cancer. Who has the strongest cancer treatments? No. For me, this was my schedule. I had a 5-day treatment of one cancer, and then I want to say 9 days or 4 days off. And then I had to go right back for more treatments for 3 days, for 14 days off, which the 3-day one was 10 times worse than the 5-day one. Because I will kid you not, this is what they called it to me, and I'll say it here, it's called the Red Devil Drug. And oh boy, does it live up to that name. Like, ridiculously amount. And honestly, it was hard.
Wow. Yeah. Well, tell us about your recovery.
So, cancer is hard, and so was the recovery. And these are some of the lessons I learned to help me get through all of it. Lesson one, you have to give up some control when it comes to cancer. Because cancer is extremely hard to do, but you do have to give up some control. I'm a bit of a control freak myself, so I know how hard this will be. You have to take a moment and just think. You are going to have to put your trust in the people you trust the most and focus on that. Let your trusted supporters help guide you for a little while. Lesson two, find joy in every day. Take something positive out of every single day. For example, let's say you just get up in the morning, be happy you were able to get up and stand up, smell the coffee, and all that good stuff. Or in my case, play a video game you like, even if it's just for 5 minutes, or watch a video. Anything that can bring you joy at all. Because cancer is really, really hard to go through. I know it is. I've been through it. Lesson three, ride the wave. There are always going to be challenging times in each of our lives. My therapist, Mrs. Clifford, who my mom and I had to call a lot during my treatments, taught us this strategy that I still use to this day. Picture yourself on a boogie board or a surfboard in the ocean. Now picture yourself in smooth waters. Now all of a sudden, a huge wave of panic and anxiety and worry comes and you fall off your surfboard. You now need to acknowledge your stress in this scary situation and control your emotions so you can get back on the surfboard and ride the wave of panic no matter how long it takes to the shore, where it will end. It's a challenging ride, sometimes especially when our thoughts and emotions get in the way. But if we can picture ourselves riding that wave, we can try and feel more secure knowing that we will have our control back one day when we get back to shore.
Mm-hmm.
Lesson 4, pray. When you are in a hard place sometimes, the best option I can give you is to pray. For example, once I was having what felt like a heart attack. It was very unbearable, so I prayed to God to help with the pain. It helped me mentally, obviously not physically, but it helped me at least feel relief to an extent. I am still trying to figure out my lifestyle because honestly, cancer is life-changing. Every moment, every minute, every hour, every day, just appreciate it because that is all we get. What we do with life is the best we can, so live your best life. Continue to stay positive and have a positive mindset. Spend time with your family and the people you love. Find new ways to do challenging things. Lesson 5, have a positive mindset. Some people may think it is all about treatments. A lot of it is, but a bigger piece of fighting cancer is all about your mental health. It's a huge challenge up here in your head. If you can't beat your mind's challenges, it could consume you. You might be able to defeat cancer and be better, but up here, your mindset might be damaged. I have learned this the hard way, a couple of times myself. Cancer, well, it just sucks. It's awful. But you have the power to smile each day, enjoy life, and just be yourself, and find new ways to bring yourself joy each and every day. Lesson 6, find your support person. Fill your life with the people who truly support you and allow you to live your best life. For example, you just need someone to just hug, cry over every day, just a tight squeeze. Find those people. Put them in your life. Work to figure out the negatives, the lies, and then you will figure out what it is you need for yourself. Lesson 7. Oh my God, I kind of joked about that happening. Lesson 7. Focus on what you can do. The true battle of cancer might not be cancer itself, it's what you can do to stop it from affecting you. It's mostly about that. You can figure out new ways of doing things. Say, for example, you like running. Maybe switch to walking and maybe speed walking. I do that now because my tumor is still in me and has made my vertebrae very fragile. I find some joy in every day. There are so many things I can do and can as well. You just need to be open-minded about it. Lesson 8, accept your new normal. I'm ready to accept my new normal. Since my survivorship began in 2022, advocacy has been part of my life. My advocacy work gives me a purpose. It has created a reason for everything I have gone through. And being able to just enjoy things I enjoy really helps with accepting this new normal. And finally, lesson 9, 10, and more, I have not figured out yet, but I look forward to learning it.
Mm-hmm. Thanks, Jonathan.
Mm-hmm.
Thanks for tuning in to Autism Knows No Borders. If you enjoyed this conversation and want to stay updated on future episodes and events, remember to follow us on Instagram at Autism Podcast so you'll be able to contribute your own questions to future guests in our podcast. Thanks for listening. Take care.